Our reading for today begins in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. 1 John 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. When we left off in our past reading in chapter 2, we had addressed this new commandment, which really was not a new commandment, which was to love and to not embrace hate. And we talked about love being central to the gospel, love for God, love for Jesus, love for our fellow man. And then he contrasted that with a love for the world, and a love for the world pulls us away from God. And so he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, verse 15, chapter 2. And he makes the point in verse 17, all the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, where we started in verse 18 starts another thought. And this particular thought that he presents is one that gets misinterpreted pretty often. He states in verse 18, you have heard that Antichrist is coming, and so now many Antichrists have come. You don't have to look very far to find those that support the idea that the Antichrist is one specific individual that will herald the end of time. But that's not what's being supported here, and that's not what the word means. When you see that preposition anti used, it means opposed to or against. So he's simply using a descriptive term, Antichrist, to mean those against Christ, and he explains that in 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. So he gives the definition of the term to be those that deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And so that is what an antichrist is. And so he makes this statement in verse 18 that antichrist is coming, but many antichrists have come. So he's saying there have been many that are in opposition to Christ. So it's not one person, and it's not an event, but it's a frame of mind or a belief, those that are against Christ. And he says, because of this, we know that it is the last hour. Now, that's another phrase that gets misused and abused as well. Last days, last hour, last times. It simply means that this is the last dispensation under this earth that God has made. We had the beginning of time. You had a dispensation where we typically call that the patriarchal period, in which you had God speaking to the heads of families, such as Adam and Noah, Abraham. Then you had the time of Moses. That was another dispensation in which God had a nation of people, and he spoke through prophets and priests, and he had his word written down. And then you have the Christian dispensation, which began when Christ came, and then when he was sacrificed, starting the church. And so we are in that last dispensation. We are in the last days right now. The Hebrew writer mentions these last days in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It states, "It shall come to pass in the latter days," or last days, "that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it." And this is a prophecy referring to the time of Christ. My point is that I want to make it clear that John is not talking about something that hasn't happened yet, that's way out in the future. He's talking about the times that existed then and the times that exist now. So verse 19, he also describes this. He says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." So the way I take this is that he says they were of our number. They numbered themselves among us. We thought they were brothers or sisters, but they went out. In other words, it became clear that they were not really one of us. And so they have withdrawn themselves, or maybe they have removed them. I'm not sure which may be the case. And it says it might become plain that they are all not of us. Now that second part leads me to believe that maybe they were disciplined and removed from the number because they weren't true believers. That they could have been stirring up trouble, stirring up division, who knows? Anything I would say there would be a complete guess on my part. But the language seems to support that it became clear that they were not true believers, and so they were removed one way or another. Verse 20 is, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." I would not take that as meaning that they all have miraculous knowledge, but I think he means that they understand what the truth is, and they understand what they're supposed to believe in as Christians. And verse 21, "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth." So then he explains, verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, and that is the Antichrist, which is anybody that denies that Jesus is the Christ, anybody that is opposing Christ. No one who denies the Son has the Father. So if they deny Jesus as the Christ, they can't have a relationship with the Father, for no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Whoever confesses the Son, that is, that they believe and they make that confession, they have the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. The only way that you can abide in both is to accept the Word and to accept the testimony and to have true faith. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Verse 26, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." So he's made mention that they understand and know these things. Sometimes we know things, but because we have a relationship with someone, maybe we put up with them too long. Maybe we put up with false teaching for too long because of that relationship. Maybe that's what he's trying to deal with here. But his point is, "I'm writing these things because I don't want you to be deceived." Whatever the reason is, whatever the cause of that deceit is. Verse 27, the anointing you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. Well, it means they've already been taught those things. That doesn't mean they don't need to be reminded. It doesn't mean they don't need to have themselves solidified in that teaching. As his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So follow that which you know to be the truth. Don't be pulled off track by lies and deceit. Verse 28, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming. That confidence comes from knowing the truth and following the truth. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Let the fruits match up with the faith. Chapter 3, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. Now he's starting another thought here, but I wanted to include this within our reading for today, mainly because I didn't think I would spend quite as much time on the Antichrist, but also because we're connecting back to chapter 2, where he talks about love, love for brother and not hating. So he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, so we are. And the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. There's lots of people in the world that don't know God. Some of them think they do, but they don't really know all the truth, and so they can't really know him. But everyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That is, to get rid of sin in their life. Now again, to reinforce this connection back to chapter 2, with love being the central part of the gospel, remember that we've talked about before that when we love God, then we have a desire to please him. When we love God, we have a desire to have a relationship with him. And when we have that relationship with him, he calls us children, children of God, a great honor that is placed on those that before we are cleansed by the blood of Christ, we are at enmity with him. We are polluted to the point that we cannot have that fellowship with him. And so we have become children of God. So verse 2, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. A reference to that time in which we will be changed and go to be in heaven with God. Verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Now go back to chapter 1 and our discussion there. He makes it clear that there are times in which we are going to need to repent of sin. There are times in which we have sinned. He's not contradicting himself here. He's talking about a practice. I make a practice of sinning. That means it's normal in my life. It's something that I don't worry about or I keep on doing. So if I make a practice of sinning, I'm practicing lawlessness. That's different than, oops, I made a mistake. I didn't intend to make a mistake. This is a conscious choice to sin. No one abides in him who keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. We don't truly know God if we're embracing sin. Verse 7, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. By their fruits you shall know them. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. So, instead of God being your father, the devil is your father. Jesus had that discussion with the Jews during his time on this earth. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he had been born of God. I have changed my thinking, I have changed my mindset, I have turned my heart toward God. I no longer live for sin, I live for God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So we've made our connection back to chapter 2 complete, and the connection with those who are antichrists as well, because by their fruits you shall know them. And if they don't believe in the Christ, then they're not going to follow the Christ. So some important teachings from 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3 for us to consider for today. I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all, and please come back for another reading from the Scriptures.